Oceans in Peril. Out beyond the coasts of the lands where we live, beneath the apparently inscrutable surface of the oceans, there is a crisis going on. The vast oceans are still a place of mystery, and the life within them remains a source of wonder and often of beauty. But as the world pays attention to environmental problems on land and laments the loss of rainforest, of wilderness, and of endangered tigers and pandas, there is an even greater tragedy being played out silently beneath the waves. It was thought that the oceans are so vast and the life in them so teeming that nothing we could do could ever affect them. Now, it is becoming clear that the creatures of the sea are, if anything, more vulnerable than their land counterparts. The problem is the increasing scale and pressure of human activity. It's not simply that the human population has increased fivefold in the last century and a half. The impact of each person has escalated too, and especially that of people in richer countries. And in recent years, technology has given us the means to attack and devour the ocean's riches as never before. The impacts are many and complex. Wherever rivers flow into the sea from intensively farmed land, for instance, the runoff of fertilizers from farms far inland can create dead zones where virtually all life has been suffocated out of existence by the uncontrollable growth of plankton. Where trawlers drag heavy nets over the seabed, bottom-dwelling communities of sponges, corals, bryozoans, and shellfish may invisibly be uprooted and destroyed. Vast quantities of plastics are littering the oceans to create giant garbage patches which choke and empoison marine life. And the rapacious maw of industrial-scale fishing fleets has swept away some populations of fish already. It seems likely that unless something is done soon to curb their appetite, they will virtually clean out the ocean of edible wild fish in a shockingly short time. It is indeed difficult to be sure what is going on in the oceans. Both their huge scale and their inaccessibility means that scientists can sometimes only guess at the problems, and their findings are constantly disputed, especially by those with vested interest to do so. It's only been in the last few decades that the ocean bed has been fully mapped, and just a tiny percentage has been fully explored. So we only know a small portion of what goes on in a healthy ocean. It's that much harder to be sure how it is being damaged. Sometimes it's only practical to take small samples, a study of a single species or even a small population or a small location, to find out what is really happening. Yet gradually, the picture is beginning to snap into focus. It's becoming more and more clear that the human impact on the oceans is escalating. What's more, it is happening rapidly. Indeed, it is happening at such a speed that it's caught everyone by surprise. As recently as 1951, Rachel Carson, the pioneering environmental campaigner, wrote, "Man cannot control or change the ocean as, in his brief tenths of the earth, he has subdued and plundered the continents." However, it's now becoming clear just how mistaken that view was. Many of the human threats to the ocean center on what we take out and what we put in. Over the last half century, hundreds of millions of tons of fish and other creatures have been taken from the oceans. Meanwhile, hundreds of millions of tons of waste have been dumped into them. the introduction of fishing quotas and much publicised campaigns to avoid eating endangered cod or bluefin tuna have failed to halt the pace at which every fish that is vaguely edible is scooped from the ocean by industrial trawlers. Well over 99 million tonnes are taken from the sea every year, and that rate of catch is simply too much. The world's fish population is large, but it's not limitless. And more and more populations are being fished to exhaustion. Since the 1950s, the numbers of bluefin tuna, Atlantic cod, American eels and some sharks have been reduced by 95%. As one population is exhausted, the fishing industry simply moves on to another. But they cannot move on continuously, or wild fish of any kind will be off the menu forever, and the biodiversity of the ocean will be restricted with unpredictable consequences. Moreover, an incredibly wasteful quarter of the tonnage of marine creatures taken from the sea never reaches the dining table, or even the fish meal factory. This is useless bycatch, caught up in the nets and then discarded. Every year, hundreds of millions of fish, marine mammals such as dolphins and seals and sea turtles and seabirds perish in this way. Meanwhile, whaling, which has already brought many species such as the blue whale to the point of extinction, could actually be legal once more if a recent proposal to lift the ban is ratified. And if seal hunting is now thankfully less common than it was, tens of thousands of seals are still being deliberately killed each year. And then there's what we put in. In the past, the oceans were seen as a dump with almost limitless capacity for anything from sewage to nuclear waste. Scientists are now aware just how mistaken this view was. But that does not stop vast amounts of fertilisers, pesticides, sewage, plastics and industrial waste being poured into coastal waters all the time. Untreated sewage and fertilisers from farms carried downriver to the sea have created more than 400 dead zones, where there is virtually no marine life, from the Gulf of Mexico, which is the biggest, to the Yellow Sea. Toxic chemicals from pesticides and industrial waste leaking into the oceans work their way up the food web, becoming increasingly concentrated until animals at the top of the food web, such as polar bears and killer whales, are now carrying around bodies full of poison. Nearly 700 million tons of oil ends up in the sea too. And this is mostly from discarded oil poured down the drain, as well as from ship operation and the more publicised notorious tanker spillages. And vast amounts of plastic waste now floats through the ocean, where it is slowly disintegrating into tiny pellets, deadly to sea creatures that swallow them inadvertently. Or they drift intact in giant patches of garbage that can entangle anything from sea turtles to dolphins. Locally, human activity can interfere with marine life in countless ways, from the noise and disturbance of boats to coastal developments, from port and harbour works to housing and leisure developments. Even swimmers playing with dolphins and divers exploring coral reefs can do significant damage. A potentially even bigger threat to the oceans is global warming and its related effects. It's enormously difficult to measure temperature right across the world, and even harder to be certain if trends are general. Nonetheless, studies by the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration in the United States suggest that global sea temperatures rose by more than half a degree in the surface layers between the years 1960 and 2000. This is significant, since the oceans take a very long time to heat up. Another report recorded that in July 2009, the world's oceans were hotter than ever before, well over 1 degree warmer than the 20th century average and beating the previous record of 1998. Once warmed up like this, the oceans take a long time to cool. Ocean warming could have a very damaging effect on marine life. Besides melting sea ice and altering polar ecosystems, it could upset plankton growth by keeping down the cold waters that bring nutrients to the surface. If so, the effects of global warming could spread right through the food chain. Ocean warming already seems to be damaging coral reefs by triggering bleaching events as the corals expel their symbiotic algae in response to the increased warmth. It seems to be raising sea levels too, with potential devastating effects on coastal wetlands and other ecosystems. Just a few years ago, scientists reported to the American Association for the Advancement of Science that ocean warming is almost certainly being caused by the extra carbon added to the atmosphere by human activities. Raised levels of atmospheric carbon might also have another, even more devastating effect, turning the oceans more acid as they soak up some of the excess carbon. That extra acidity could wreak havoc on the availability in the ocean of the dissolved carbonates that are vital for the shells and skeletons of all kinds of living things, from phytoplankton and corals to much larger creatures. It may be that the healthy marine life could adapt. It may be that healthy marine life could adapt to these changes. But far too many species have been so reduced and weakened by overfishing that this combination could be the final straw. One of the ironies is that marine life is coming under threat just as we are beginning to learn how astonishingly rich it is. Earlier this year, the results of the extraordinary 10-year Census of Marine Life were announced. The aim of the census was to produce the first ever comprehensive survey of life in the ocean. The oceans are so vast that the census could only give an impression of what is out there. Yet it showed that the variety of life in the oceans is much, much, much greater than scientists had ever imagined. Thousands of previously unknown species have been discovered, and it's absolutely certain that there are many more yet to be found. There is still much to marvel at in the oceans, a wealth and variety of life and lifestyles that is almost impossible to imagine. The oceans are as much our home as any part of the planet. They are wonderful, colourful, life-filled places that deserve and need our care. As Jacques Cousteau put it so memorably, when it comes to the oceans, we are all in the same boat.